Chanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It is Chanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. Mike Golic Jr., Chanae Agwumike,
we're
presented by Progressive Insurance. What are you freaking out about right now?
TV, can we please run that video package again?
Oh, my God.
If you're watching on ESPN Plus, you're in for a treat. We've got Mike Golic Jr. as Elite Meat Shield all over our televisions. It's just great.
Yeah, see, I forgot about this, and all guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline that when we did the original open for our show back in the day and they cut all this video for it, they use all the old, like, training camp football pictures of me when I was, like, a real thick boy with, like, a great beard. Janae, I've said this all the time. It's weird now. I love being smaller, but I miss being big sometimes. Like, it is fun to be big and strong and just walk around and know it.
I didn't know you could actually grow a beard that long. Like, for real. Like, that was a burly beard that we're looking at on ESPN Plus right now. Like, very solid work, Junior.
I'm not going to lie. I didn't end up making the team in Pittsburgh, but I looked like a guy who should have.
And, you know, the cap, I kind of want to see what's under it. Like, was that the last stand for your hairline?
Damn it. So, two things. One, yes, it was. Full credit where it's due there. But no, going into my rookie year, we'll get to the Orlando Brown trade in a second here, I promise. But going back to my going into my rookie year, Janae, I was training back at Notre Dame, getting ready, and I was doing drills without a helmet on, without pads on. And a friend of mine that was helping us train went to go for an arm over and elbowed me in the face. And so I got about 5-6 stitches right up this side of my head that I had to strip clothes every day before practice, lube up, and then put a skull cap on just so I could get my helmet over without it ripping apart.
Cool story, bro. I just really think that that cap was so tight that that's where things went wrong. Like, any woman would tell you, if you have something that's too tight on your head, it'll affect your hairline. I could have saved you. You could have hair right now, but it's all good. You still look good.
Listen, I was trying to make money. I was going to sacrifice that hairline to try and make the team, and I needed to get my helmet on to do so. Now, hindsight being what it is, probably should have taken the skull cap off and just kept the hairline because the other part didn't work out all that much. Now, besides my hairline, besides me yearning for a chance to be big, Janae, we had a big move leading up to the NFL draft with an offensive lineman that did stick around after those final cuts in training camp. And this was a wild one because we fully came in here expecting today to talk about Anthony Davis, some comments made by David Gettleman, all of which we'll get to. But then Adam Schefter went ahead and had to do it to us. Tweeted about an hour ago, our ESPN NFL insider, the Kansas City is trading its first-round pick Thursday night, along with three other picks in 2021 and 22 drafts, to the Baltimore Ravens in exchange for Pro Bowl offensive tackle Orlando Brown and one pick in the 2021 draft and 22. So how it shook out was this, Janae. Kansas City's getting Orlando Brown, a 2021 second-round pick, and a 2022 sixth. Baltimore is getting a first-round pick this year, the Chiefs at 31, a third-round pick, a fourth-round pick, and a fifth-round pick next year, all to send Orlando Brown, who, last time we checked, was looking to get a payday, was looking to play left tackle, and those were all things that weren't going to happen in Baltimore. So he gets a new home, Janae. And I
have a question.
Yeah, go for it.
I actually have two questions for you because this is your bag. This is your territory as a former offensive lineman. How difficult is it, no matter how talented you are, to start over with a new offensive line, even though you're bringing some good talent in there?
Listen, it's difficult. Everyone schematically is going to do things a bit differently. We know Baltimore been one of the run-heaviest teams as far as percentage of their plays since Lamar Jackson became instilled as the starter versus Kansas City that is doing so much empty protection. You know, running backs out in passing routes, Patrick Mahomes and all the moving around that he does. And so there's certainly some differences in there, Chanae, that he's going to have to account for just by nature of the offense. But the Kansas City Chiefs looking at this upcoming tackle draft, seeing, all right, maybe not the deepest crop of talent there that they'd have access to down at that 31st pick, said, we know we got to protect Patrick Mahomes. We saw what happened in the Super Bowl, and we're not going to let it happen again.
Chanae Golic Jr., Chanae Agwumike, and Mike Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And Junior, my second follow-up question would be, who do you like, especially in this trade, knowing that clearly someone was disgruntled potentially? Because I saw the tweet that was in the reporting. I'm all caps left tackle, knowing that there was a little bit of probably a little angst inside based on him sort of tweeting out his true position. Who do you think won out on this one?
Yeah, Well, I mean, Orlando Brown wins out first and foremost because now he's going to go to a team that's a Super Bowl contender as long as they've got their $500 million quarterback. He gets to play left tackle, which, Chiney, I think those distinctions in the modern NFL are a little overblown. Plenty of great pass rushers line up on the right side. Kansas City actually just let go of one of the best right tackles, one of the best tackles in Mitchell Schwartz in all of football. And so I don't think that distinction means as much. But to him, it does. And most importantly, the payday. Because you saw already, I think Marlon Humphrey, one of his former teammates in Baltimore, wishing him well because everyone knows what this is really about. Baltimore did not want to negotiate a long-term deal with this player. They were not comfortable making that leap. And so now he's going to go and make a bleep ton of money to go play for a team that's going to win now and be better because of his presence there after all the turnover they had on the offensive line. So Orlando Brown wins this. Chiney, I'm surprised from the Ravens side because you just dealt added protection. Now this might show you what the Ravens think of Orlando Brown because you just dealt added protection at an unbelievable position of need to a team you're going to have to get through if you want to make it to the Super Bowl at all.
What about the haul, though? For a first rounder, 31 overall, third rounder, and fourth rounder for Baltimore.
Oh, I mean, it's great value for Baltimore and for a team who I'd expect, especially that late in the draft, with another deep receiver class that's coming out in the 2021 group, that Baltimore would address that need. We know they signed Sammy Watkins to a free agent deal this offseason, too, but that was the priority. We all finished that playoff game at the end of last season and said, Baltimore's got to instill a better passing attack. You've got to give Lamar more options, and you've got to develop the game plan in that area. And so you're going to need some young horses to go out there and make that thing run. But still, I can't get over them trading him to a team they're going to have to go through. Again, that must just indicate to me for a team that did not want to pay him and is now dealing him within the conference to a contender that they must not have thought highly enough of him for any of that to be an impediment to getting more draft capital.
Look, that hits me in my soul because even though in the WNBA we are like super conference, we're no longer East and West, it was like, well, you are going to the team that is 3,000 miles away, so out of sight, out of mind. And so when you're within the same conference, it does sort of raise your eyebrows a little bit, but maybe they were desperate based on the situation not being what they wanted.
It certainly is, but you look at their offensive line, Chiney, that last year already lost a Hall of Famer, and I'm talking about Baltimore. A future Hall of Famer, Marshall Yanda at guard, is going to have Ronnie Stanley, their starting left tackle, their franchise tackle, coming back off of injury from last year, and you had young guys in its place. Now, I saw this one, Adam Schefter tweeted out not long after that, and this was courtesy of Jameson Hensley, who's an ESPN Ravens reporter for us, that said, by trading Orlando Brown to the Chiefs, the Ravens are expected to replace him at right tackle with Alejandro Villanueva, the former Pittsburgh Steelers left tackle that became a free agent this offseason. Said the deal likely won't become official until after the draft, but Villanueva visited the Ravens on Thursday. So the Ravens add some picks and believe they won't have much drop-off with Villanueva. So for Eric DaCosta and this Ravens front office, make no mistake, especially if you had that plan in mind. Villanueva was a quality starter for Pittsburgh on an offensive line that we know is searching for answers now. You got great value back, but there is a sort of wow moment at the beginning when you decide to help the Chiefs in an area of need.
Honestly, this was just a reminder that we're under a week from the draft, and so things were getting spicy for us to not forget over the weekend.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You know what we were asking? I said this out loud to someone the other day when I was doing a phoner on a local affiliate, Chiney. I said, we need someone else to do something pre-draft so we could stop talking about Mac Jones and Justin Fields and the 49ers third overall pick. So God gave us mana from heaven in the form of this thick trade that, again, Orlando Brown, the Baltimore Ravens' former right tackle, traded to the Kansas City Chiefs, who, according to our Jeremy Fowler, seems set to franchise tag him, give some time to work out a long-term deal that we know is coming when you trade for someone like this. Now, we've got that trade going on in the NFL. We'll get plenty more reaction. Field Yates going to join us in a little bit. Our ESPN NFL insider on his birthday going to give us some analysis. Field turns 21 today. Very excited for him.
Oh, I thought he turned 18.
No, yeah. Field's drinking age now, and if you saw the picture that Adam Schefter tweeted out of the former football player Field Yates, my guy used to have a neck on him, for what it's worth.
Oh, yes, sturdy.
Beef Yates out here in these streets ready to deliver some hits. We'll also talk real hits with Daniel Cormier, former MMA champ and part of DC and Helwani, a show that we have beef with.
Tread lightly, Junior.
Listen, we're ready out here. We're going to get you ready for the fight this weekend between Kamaru Usman, the Nigerian Nightmare.
Jinan, yeah.
Friend of the program. And Jorge Masvidal, everything Miami. There's already been plenty of words exchanged. So we got all that coming up. It's going to be great. But last night, we had a return. Anthony Davis back on the court for the Lakers against the Mavericks. What did Chiney see, and what should we expect as the Lakers get set to close out the season? We'll do that next. Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We got more draft mockery coming up in about 10 minutes around here. We're going to keep this thing going. The Chargers, the Minnesota Vikings, they are on the clock. Our mock draft rolls along here at Chiney and Golic Jr., Mike Golic Jr., Chiney Agwumike. We'll have plenty of that coming up. We'll get into some blows with Daniel Cormier in just a little bit here as we get ready for UFC coming up this weekend. But Chiney, right now it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. How'd we think AD looked last night? Anthony Davis back after what? It has to be the shortest feeling 9-week miss of all time from an outside looking in. He was back on the court for the Lakers last night against the Mavs. Chiney, what did you think of his return? The Lakers lost, by the way, 115-110, but that really seems like incidental contact based on what we were really looking for.
So the athlete in me goes, yay, woohoo, AD is back. And then the performance was like, aw, dang, aw, man. Took 5 attempts before he was able to make a make. And I don't know if you caught it. After the ball finally went in the basket, he just turned like every athlete was like, really? Like, finally? Now you're going to go in? Now you're going to want to listen to me? Like, he was running back like, you know, it's just kind of funny because he's frustrated because he wants to step back to exactly where he was. And that's someone that potentially could be an MVP candidate each and every year, especially as he enters his prime. I thought our ESPN.com did a really good way of encapsulating everything by saying there were 67 days, 30 missed games, which says a lot, Junior. Oof. 30 missed games. In 67 days.
I was going to say, let that sink in for a second, everybody, by the way. What the second half of this NBA season has been. And then don't act so surprised when so many people are hurt. Keep going, Chiney.
There were 67 days, 30 missed games, and 5 missed shots for Anthony Davis before he could finally stamp his return from injury with a bucket against the Mavericks. And they lost. So, yeah. I mean, I ad-libbed the end. But it's glad to see him back out there. I expect him for the next few games to get back to being more dominant. It is tough to just step into a situation and get buckets. I know Kevin Durant is a cheat code for a reason that he can just jump in and just dominate. But not every player can do that, especially post players where they're not bringing the ball up, Junior, where you have the feel for the ball. And then that sort of helps dictate your flow. When post players get the ball, it's like, all right, you have 1 power dribble, 2 power dribbles, and try to get in your rhythm and go. So I did not anticipate anything great. Besides, you know, him being able to go out there under his 15-minute restriction, which actually turned out he played 17 minutes, which is great. And that's what Dave McMenamin told us yesterday, our ESPN NBA reporter, particularly for the Lakers. So it was a very realistic return against a team that had more pieces together, and that's why they lost.
It was understandable the loss was going to be there because you're trying to integrate a huge piece back into your team. You mentioned the difficulty on the offensive end. I think the thing that stuck out for me and the thing that Frank Vogel, their head coach, pointed out after the game was defensively, Anthony Davis, still very good.
He impacts the game on both ends, but his defense was great. You know, I think he picked up right where he left off. I think he's the best defensive player in the league. When he's got his legs under him and conditioned. But you saw some of that tonight with those plays you alluded to. He also stole a corner skip pass that, you know, really should have been a rotation, and he just, like, plucked it out of midair. So, he's a difference maker on both sides of the ball, but he was terrific on D tonight.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. It is Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And, Chiney, I guess the other thing that stood out is, like you said, oh, by the way, they lost the game, too. And while they don't want to make a habit of that, I'm of the thought, and I'd be interested for yours here, that all they really got to do down the stretch, in my mind, is maintain. We talk so much about seeding for Brooklyn, for a team with a few more uncertainties in the way their key parts fit together in clutch spots. For the Lakers, we kind of know those answers, and so as long as you're not dropping down, I mean, and it doesn't look like it's even possible, basically, to get down into playing range from where they are right now, as long as you can stay in range of where you are and get these guys back healthier, this feels like maintaining is just what they need right now.
And there needs to be a reality check for Laker Nation. I'm so sorry that I'm going to have to give you the reality here, because right now the Lakers are in the fifth position, in the Western Conference standings with a record of 35-24. The Denver Nuggets are at 4 with only 20 losses, meaning they'd have to make up ground by the portion of 4 games in order to have a home court advantage later on in the playoffs. And so that is a reality check where people think, oh, AD is back. Like, we can make our way back up. No, we're coming down to a few number of games. And so we're going to deal with the Lakers team that might be an underdog, whereas before LeBron James and AD got injured, they were like right under the Jazz or right there with the Jazz as pacing the West. But Junior, there was one thing that I heard in that statement by Frank Vogel, Lakers coach, that had me interested. He said when he had his legs under him, he's the best defensive player in the NBA. Do you agree?
When Anthony Davis is healthy? Hell yeah. Janae, I look at him, and now what Joel Embiid has done this season, I know him and Ben Simmons have been arguing about this very publicly. I get all of that. I guess I've just seen Anthony Davis, and this is more the team's credit, but through last year and because of LeBron James, we got to see him on a deep postseason run doing it against the best teams in the world. I have no doubt Joel Embiid is capable of a lot of the same things. I think Anthony Davis is probably a step quicker and a step more agile than Joel Embiid, a little more of a unicorn in that regard. And so I think you can do a little bit more, especially on the perimeter as a defender with Anthony Davis, than for Joel Embiid. I will cede to your expertise as our resident post player on here if you think I'm wild, though.
No, you're not wilding. I actually have to agree. And, you know, the finesse to his game in comparison to the, you know, dominant nature and the physicality of Joel, like, probably errs on the side of Anthony Davis being a better defender just because he can rebound. He can not just block shots. We remember the shots that Joel Embiid pins. But, like, AD will deflect a lot where you're like, oh, wow, he got a touch of that. And those things actually matter more because they're stops of possessions. And when he stops them, right, and gets that deflection, he's usually bringing the ball up and going in a distributor. And so it may not look as crazy as Joel's blocks because this is a man which most people don't know. Joel Embiid, his first sport was volleyball. That's why he can time it out. I thought that was an interesting thing. I was like, oh, okay. Because the argument against Ben is that Ben is a great defender, especially in open court. But he doesn't have the statistics that really back that up, you know, meaning steals and all those categories. He'll lead you in deflections, but all that other stuff that really matters when it comes to, like, the way people vote, not so much. So AD could get the benefit of the doubt if all are healthy, but I do like what Joel Embiid brings as well. But you're right. You're right, Junior, and I think Frank Vogel's right as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, Frank thought he was slick and sneaking that take in
what he was doing.
In the first game back, too. So AD back on the court, limited minutes, but we expect that to grow. And we know the next piece of this is in a couple of weeks, hopefully a healthy LeBron James returning to this lineup. In the meantime, the NBA is on ESPN Radio. Tune in tomorrow night as Jalen Brunson and the Mavs host Kostas Antetokounmpo and the Lakers. Presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations.
I've missed those reads.
A tradition unlike any other.
And the Black Queens read, too.
So. We're going to have to bring the Black Queens read back, too, for ESPN Plus. But coming up next, we got to get to some mockery. We got Chargers. We got Vikings. We're rolling along on the clock, often imitated, never duplicated. The Chanae and Golic Jr. mock draft rolls along next. We'll do that after this word from Angie.
Now, okay, Chet.
I can't stand you sometimes. I am not Chet Hanks, for the record here, all right? Just want to say that.
I'm trying to put bars out there, so.
Not today. Well, maybe not now. Maybe a little bit. But first, our friends at Angie. We all know there's a lot of pride that comes with having your own home. It's where you entertain family and friends. It's your biggest investment that you're ever going to make. It's the place that you make your own, but it's also a ton of work. I have found that out the hard way over the course of the last 4 years. Been trying to go it alone. Good news is Angie is on a mission to help you love your home by taking on all the projects that come along with it. Thank God. Angie takes all the help you could possibly need for your home and puts it right in the palm of your hand. When you download the Angie app, you can find a professional fix to an emergency leak when you need it. If you're planning a renovation, Angie matches you with the best contractor for the job. Hell, you can even schedule seasonal maintenance so it's all on autopilot. Plus, you can see clear upfront pricing on hundreds of projects so you know what you're going to pay all ahead of time. You can even pay the pro securely right through the app. It's a one-stop shop for everything you need. And you're already on your phone all day. We see the screen time reports. I know how you're living. Handling your home has never been this straightforward. But now we have Angie, your home for everything home. Download it today. Back after this with our mock draft on Chanae and Golic Jr.
Chanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We got to figure out if we still have beef with DC and Helwani or not. Ariel Helwani would come on our show all the time this far. ESPN MMA analyst. talk about his Buffalo Bills. And then somewhere along the line, Chiné really started throwing shade our way. So I guess he sent the muscle this time with Daniel Cormier.
But do
through.
We know it's true? Like, was it the Twitter? I guess, like, did he? Yeah, I thought it was more Ariel that was doing the beef stirring.
That's what I figured. So we'll check in. Chiné and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chiné Agwumike. We'll check in with Daniel Cormier, one of our other great ESPN MMA analysts, and see if we got beef with their podcast, if they're still trying to hold on to the tag team champs of ESPN belt. But in the meantime, we got to do some mockery. We've been mock drafting along the way here. We are already on pick 13 of our mock that's going to take you up till next
great
Thursday.
Number.
Quality number right there. Get your LA Sparks jerseys, everybody, and get them right. We're down to 13. We've still got some big names on the board. Mac Jones still hanging out there. Plenty of edge rushers in the draft. And so, Cliff, let's get it started.
The road to Super Bowl 56 and the Lombardi Trophy starts here.
Good evening. So you ready for the draft?
The NFL draft is right around the corner. And instead of Chiné and Golic Jr. trying to navigate the mock draft landscape, we'll ask the people that actually cover and talk about these teams. It's the inaugural Chiné and Golic Jr. Mock Draft on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus.
All right, let's keep the party moving. Pick 13 belongs to Los Angeles Chargers. And to help us out with that pick, we got Daniel Popper, the Chargers reporter, working for The Athletic. Cliff, let me hear the chimes. Oh, it feels good. Daniel, with the 13th pick in the draft, the floor is yours, my friend.
The Los Angeles Chargers select Christian Darrisaw, offensive tackle out of Virginia Tech.
All right, Daniel, as an offensive tackle goes off of the board heading to your Chargers, how does this pick really demonstrate the value of what we saw in Justin Herbert's historic rookie season?
Yeah, I mean, the goal this offseason was improving the offensive line. It was one of the worst offensive lines in football last year, both in terms of pass protection and run efficiency. They went out in free agency, signed all-pro center Corey Linsley. They got two starting guards in Matt Filer and Ode Abushi, but they still have a glaring hole at left tackle. The way the board shook out, it's a pretty obvious choice if they're going to make this selection at 13 to go with Christian Darrisaw. Slater and Sewell are both off the board. If one of these corners falls to 13, J.C. Horn or Patrick Surtain, that's an option because they do have a hole at corner. Boundary corner, they're looking for a press man guy, and both those guys fit that mold. But both those guys are off the board. Slater and Sewell are gone, and they fill a need at left tackle and Christian Darrisaw.
Great stuff, Daniel. We appreciate the time. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Daniel.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Chiné, this one's interesting, and I think after you get through those top two, there's some questions about is it Christian Darrisaw, is it Tevin Jenkins out of Oklahoma State, but protecting your star quarterback while he's on his rookie deal seems like good business if that's something you're interested in.
I mean, that man was balling last season, so yeah, it makes sense.
Out here big balling. So Justin Herbert gets some help at 13 for the Chargers. Let's head to 14 now. The Minnesota Vikings are picking at 14th here. Cliff, let me hit the chimes. And to help us out with that pick, we bring out on the Goodyear Hotline Phil Mackey, host of Mackey and Judd on Score North up in Minnesota. Phil, with the 14th pick in the draft, the floor is yours, my friend.
There's a huge argument happening in the Vikings war room right now. Rick Spielman, the GM, wants Mac Jones to get out from underneath the Kirk Cousins albatross contract. But Mike Zimmer always wins out. With the 14th pick, the Vikings go defense and select Christian Barmore, Alabama defensive tackle.
All right, so we've got another bit of Roll Tide coming off the board. Phil, Christian Barmore, a name that I think more people are starting to get familiar with closer to the draft. Are you even surprised the idea of an interior D tackle in what's considered a weaker class going this high this soon?
So Mike Zimmer hasn't slept since December when his team gave up 14 rushing touchdowns to the New Orleans Saints and Alvin Kamara and gave up 52 points in that game. And so they've basically just been adding weight to the center of the defensive line all offseason. And then when you read the NFL.com scouting report on Christian Barmore and you see things like violent, efficient hands, plundering blockers outside hand, it just screams football, meat and potatoes, and Mike Zimmer kind of guy. And so sign me up for violent, efficient hands, you guys.
When you put it like that, I'm surprised Dave Gettleman didn't draft him two picks ago. So this is shocking that maybe he lasted this far. Phil, we appreciate the time, my friend. We'll
thanks,
talk to you
Phil.
Soon, okay?
All right. Thank you both.
Our thanks again to Daniel Popper, Chargers Athletic reporter, and Phil Mackey, host of Mackey and Judd on SKOR North. Chiné, Christian Barmore, this is an interesting one. This is not a deep class of interior players, especially if you're looking for someone that can generate some pass rush. Alabama guys, trustworthy there, but this Minnesota team, that defense, no doubt a letdown. And this got to be starting to get an interesting time, not only for Mike Zimmer's future, but also they just mentioned there, their star quarterback. You like that himself. This Viking team is confusing in a division that's going a lot of different directions right now.
That's the best way to say it, but he had me at football meat and potatoes. But I'm still surprised that our best available player is Mac Jones, who a lot of people say is projected to go number three in our mock draft, still has not been taken, right?
He has not been taken, and Chiney, we may be close to the thing happening, because while the front office doesn't get the heir apparent to Kirk Cousins that might be apparently looking for, coming up in a little bit in our mock draft, the Patriots and the Cardinals pick next. And going all the way back to yesteryear, Chiney, when like the first mock drafts were coming out, one of the early, and I can't remember if it was Mel or Todd, had at 15 overall, the Patriots not having to trade up, them taking Alabama quarterback Mac Jones. So wouldn't it be wild if after all of this, water found its level and we ended up right where we started? ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. So we will see. We had beef coming off the board at 14 for the Minnesota Vikings. Coming up next, we'll figure out if we've got beef with one of the MMA's all-time greats and get ready for a rematch everyone should be excited about coming up Saturday next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. That's exactly where you can check out UFC 261 coming up this Saturday at 10 o'clock Eastern. Mike Golic Jr., Chiney Agwumike, and we got the rematch. Kamaru Usman and Jorge Masvidal squaring off for the second time. We remember first time around on all this happened, Masvidal taking that fight on short notice, about 6 days' notice, after Gilbert Burns was pulled out of that event. So a lot on the line for this one. We've seen them all over First Take, all over ESPN, both chirping at each other. And so to help us break that down and also figure out if we got beef here, we're delighted to go to the Goodyear Hotline now and welcome in our ESPN MMA analyst and co-host of DC and Helwani, Daniel Cormier, kind enough to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And DC, we appreciate the time, but we, you know, we're used to talking to your partner. We're used to talking to your friend and partner here.
Mike, there's beef.
Oh, there's beef.
If you got beef, if you got beef with Ariel, if you and Chiney got beef with Ariel, you got beef with me. But we will set that aside for the next couple of minutes as we promote this fight together in unison. But the moment we're done, the beef is back on.
All right. That's a fair point. I just, you know what? There's a couple of questions that I know we got to ask them, but like you said, we'll all be good company folks around here. We'll put it together in, you know, the interest of this baby we got coming up this weekend. And so, looking ahead to that one, DC, we got the rematch here. Usman gets the unanimous decision last time. How much do you think this full camp is going to shift the tide of what we saw in that last outing?
You know what? I believe that Masvidal will be more prepared for the approach of Usman. You know, when Jorge Masvidal came into the fighter meeting the other day, he said a lot of things that they thought Kamaru would do, he did. He just didn't have the gas to capitalize on those areas. Well, he's got a full training camp. He's not cutting 25 pounds in 5 days to make the weight. He should be much better prepared. Now, does that mean that he's going to be able to stop Kamaru? I mean, Usman has now won 13 fights in a row in the welterweight division, past Georges St-Pierre. When you pass George St. Pierre in anything, you are a legend of the game. So, tough hill to climb for Jorge Masvidal, but the guy believes, and the guy's a fighter at his core.
Daniel Cormier dropping knowledge like he knows best, our own ESPN MMA analyst and also the co-host of DC and Helwani, joining us ahead of UFC 261, Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. And DC, I'm going to try to remain as unbiased as possible because I am Nigerian-American. So I'm going to try to remain unbiased. And so this is my question. Specifically, what does Masvidal have to do in order to compete this time around?
You know, Chiney, Kamaru Usman, and not only Kamaru Usman, but Francis Ngannou and Israel Adesanya have really shined a light on African mixed martial arts, right? So I know you see a lot of pride in that and have a lot of pride in that, as do many of us. But for Jorge Masvidal to do this, I feel like he either has to maintain range and try to pick Usman apart, or he's got to knock him out. You know, this is a guy that can knock you out in the blink of an eye. And I believe that he has to do that to Kamaru Usman. Now, What would make you believe that's going to happen when we've never seen Usman even hurt in a fight? I don't know, but I think that's Masvidal's easiest or best way to win the fight.
All right, DC, do we feel good about where we are with this one? Do you want to give an official fight prediction before we start to explore this beef? Is there anything else you want to get out here before we start to get into the real issue at hand?
Well, here's the problem. I can't pick the fight because I'm calling the fight.
Yep.
But I am here to pick a fight with you two. You know, so I can't pick the actual fight tomorrow night, but I'm here to pick a fight with you and Janae.
All right, so let's get into this then here, because the last time I saw and heard from you was on Twitter when you talked about a little two-on-two hoops matchup at Staples in Janae's house.
Yep.
Trying
Absolutely.
To take this on.
So
how dare you?
Have you been in the gym working on this, DC? Because Janae's in the middle of training camp right now, and I'm feeling pretty good about our chances.
Thank you.
Let me tell you one thing, Janae. Janae, I understand you're the National Player of the Year. You are a high draft pick. You're one of the best in the WNBA. But the reality is I fear no one, and I will take on the challenge. I'm guarding Golic, and Ariel can take his chances guarding you, and then we may just end up double-teaming you. Because, Golic, let me tell you one thing, my brother. I'm not worried about your range, and you ain't backing me down. I'm 265 pounds of beef, and I am a savage in the post. I'm going Karl Malone on you, Golic.
You know what happens? Daniel Cormier joining us, and we're talking about our two-on-two matchup between him and Ariel Helwani versus myself and Mike Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. And, DC, you know what's hilarious? That's going to be mouse in the house for me. Like, he's too small.
Ooh.
So, like, while you go and match up, I thought that would be a different strategy because that's mouse in the house. Like, you might be on the block, but, like, I can still get through anyways.
Janae, let me tell you one thing. My boy Ariel was the captain of the Maccabi Games for Canada. And let me tell you something. You don't get that honor. His teammates bestowed that on him. As a youth, as a teenager, Ariel was chosen by his friends and his peers to be the captain. And I have faith in that. I have faith in my boy Helwani.
DC, no, I just got
no
ask.
Problem, Junior. Hold on, before your question. I mean, that's cool. Like, that's really amazing. That's cute. That's inspirational. In high school, I was a National Player of the Year. But that was great. But go ahead, Junior.
Well, DC, I just want to ask in the first place, because this is all about the tag team ESPN partnership championship belts of the world.
Absolutely.
What did you guys even do to begin with that made you thought you would earn the right of those belts? Like, did you just get those made for you guys?
Hey. Let me tell you one thing. Self-proclamation is a very strong thing in the world. And Ariel and I have proclaimed ourselves the greatest tag team. And it shows now because people love us. Everybody wants a part of this. You know, these guys, we have these fighters, guys. They listen every week. They may not like what we say, but they pay attention. Everybody loves us. And the powers that be, you know Ariel got his belt hand-delivered by Jimmy Pitaro. This isn't just him getting his belt shipped to him. He went to his house on the East Coast and handed him his belt. So know that it's the work that we have done that allows for us to be called the tag team champions of ESPN broadcasters.
That is a flex, Junior. I can't even lie.
You know what? We are about to treat this like professionals. I am looking forward to, after we win this game of two-on-two, Jimmy Pitaro personally coming down from on high, ripping that belt from your hands, and having to hand it to us in front of you at Staples Center. DC, we appreciate the time. We look forward to this matchup. We'll be ready for you, all right?
Thank you guys so much. I love you guys. Have fun and enjoy the fight tomorrow, man. It's going to be fantastic.
Absolutely. Looking forward to you on the call. Going to be great stuff. DC, as always, and that crew, a great time on any MMA card for us here at ESPN.
You know what's really funny? When you compare the two, he's actually nicer than Ariel.
I can say, you can tell. Like, he's really like, we're down with him. This feels good. Ariel's the one I'm starting to think might really have some sort of issue with us.
Yeah,
he's usually a lot meaner.
He might actually have real beef with us. Like, we might have to double check that.
We might have to. Double check again. UFC 261, 10 Eastern, coming up this Saturday on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. Usman, Masvidal. Our own Daniel Cormier going to be on the call. Great ESPN MMA analyst. But coming up next for us, we got to head to the NFC East. As we get ready for the NFL draft, I was thinking about this earlier in the day. Does anyone trust their decision makers in this division? Next on ESPN Radio.
That's wild.